broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 1st in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land. The Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. We believe in restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. No doubt, we've got a lot of problems in America. And our goal is to make America great again, to change, to restore the republic, whatever term you want to use. We want to return to the checks and balances that made America great. We can do it, but it's going to take a lot of hard work, folks. There's all kinds of people that believe in tyranny out there that want to destroy our liberties. And it's up to us to stand together to never let that happen. Now, I had on Richard Mack a week ago or so, did an interview. Richard Mack did his investigation into what happened to Ammon Bundy and what's going on down there in Nevada. And he did his very best. He released his investigation. Go to thefreedomcoalition.com. Choose the news section. You can read what Richard Mack and Rick Dalton wrote. Now, a lot of people are very critical of Richard Mack about his report and what he wrote. And I'm just going to say this. I did my very best to help Richard Mack get his information out to the public. And I like Richard Mack. I think he's a great guy. And I defend a lot of what he did. Whether I agree with everything he did or not, it's not important. And I agree with some things and I don't agree with others. However, I bring this up because everybody wants to attack me and explain, you know, Sam, you were so unfair. Why don't you have on other people and have them tell their stories? And my response to all of you about that is I have been doing my best. I tried to get Lisa Bundy to come on and tell her, you know, perspective. I've tried to get those folks out at the camp in Nevada to come on and tell their perspective. None of them will come on the radio. And some are saying, well, we know why. You'll be so biased and unfair that we don't, you know, they don't dare come on with you. You know what? Stop all that baloney, folks. I've been in the Patriot movement for 25 years, and I've been more than fair. Remember, I was the guy that Ammon would come on the radio with from inside the refuge. Remember, I was one of the guys that was there at the rally when this all started. Remember, I was the guy that had on Ammon plenty of times. I had on Ryan Bundy and Shauna Cox and others from inside at the refuge as well. So look, I'm not here to pick sides, I'm not here to play games, and I'm not here to attack anyone. I am here letting the new media take center stage to let people speak for themselves, though. In other words, I don't want to hear about Ammon. I want to hear Ammon say what he thinks in his own words. We're trying to set that up where he can do some radio stuff from the jail. Hopefully we can get that done. And if we do, I'll let Ammon speak for himself, folks. Well, the same is true for Shauna Cox. The headlines are all that Shauna and Richard Mack disagree. You know what? I don't care if they disagree or not. I want to bring to you both sides, let them speak for themselves, and let you, the public, decide for yourself what you think about what they have to say. I have my own opinions, and I hope to let you draw your own opinions as well. With that introduction, Shauna Cox, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And sorry for such a long-winded intro. I just want everybody to understand, my role isn't to pick sides and attack people. A real talk show host does his best to lay it out in a way that makes sense where you can speak for yourself. And if we do that, we've done the news media right. It's about who, what, when, where, why. And it's about people and their perspectives. And it's about this, you know, the people, the listeners, deciding for themselves what they think. I don't need to decide for them. So with that introduction, Shauna, as far as I understand, very few people have had the opportunity to see the videos and to kind of have an inside track on what's going on and to draw conclusions. Most people are just hearing what somebody else says. You're in a very unique position. You've seen all the videos and you've kind of had an internal review of the investigation, right?
I have, yes. But to tell you the truth, I have not heard what Richard Mack said. I haven't read his report. I haven't. Anything. All I do is tell you what I saw and my feelings about the situation. Then you draw the conclusion between whatever his story is to whatever I'm telling you. So,
and I think there's a lot of overlap, but I think there's a lot of different conclusions. Part of the reason is that Richard Mack ran a jail. Richard Mack, you know, has been a sheriff. And so, you know what, he's going to take, he's a 20-plus year police veteran. He's going to take a lot of that side and give it a whole lot more credence, where you and I, we've never been fond of jails. You know, many of us have been attacked by the government, so we're pretty critical and pretty whatever you want to say about that. I, for example, I think the jailers are out of control, personally. Richard would say, well, they're following the rules. Well, you know what? Both have some truth to them. Well, anyway, let's have me shut up and you tell your story about your investigation, how you got involved, or your own personal review, and what you think.
Okay. When the sheriff had been called in to do an investigation.
And the sheriff, this is Worley, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Sheriff. Yeah. Anyway, so they went over to, they sent an investigator over. Then they came back and reported to the family. I was invited by Carol to be there. So we sat down and listened to the head of their jail, okay, their jailer. He came in and explained to us the policies and procedures that are set up by the NRS, the Nevada Revised Statute. And he explained to us how they go from green to red and what causes those because of the actions of that inmate. And we understood. So he preceded us watching the video with that to explain to us that the actions of this inmate caused this reaction by the officer. And which was great information. Okay. So we understood how they were following their policies and procedures. Okay, with that, Carol and Angie didn't really want to watch. And I can't blame them because of the things that, you know, the emotionally attachments of the things that were occurring. So I said, I will stay, and myself and another, and one other person was there. What happened was they started the first video, and when it opened up, it was a room shot, and it's very grainy because it's like a security camera that looks across the whole room, and it's quite a ways away, but you can see the whole room. And when you look at the room, they show the incident of where the guard comes over. He is approaches, and I'm assuming it's Ammon because of what went down. Because you can't really tell who they are because they're so tiny. So he comes.
So they're tiny because it's from across the room, and it's grainy as a result of the distance, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
So it's not very clear. So you can see him approach. They told us that it was the policy, they precursed this, but it was the policy that they were not allowed to hang a shirt on the upper bunk. Now, when you look at this room, these rooms are, the beds that they have look like restaurant bus carts. They're, you know, stainless steel. They have pads on, foam pads for their bedding. And as you notice, that they would hang the shirt from the top bunk by their faces to block the light, because day and night they always have the lights on. They dim them down a bit, but even in the video it shows that it's quite bright in there and that they aren't able to sleep without blocking that light. So Ammon is told to, In his interview, the guard says, I called my security officer, my higher up, whoever he is, because I went to him and he had a shirt hanging over the upper bunk that they knew they weren't supposed to do because it's a policy or something that I can't find it in the handbook, but someplace it says that they're not allowed to have this shirt hanging over the top bunk because some incident that occurred years ago that somebody got raped behind one or something. I don't know. Anyway, he says that he had told Ammon that he needed to take the shirt down. Ammon doesn't remove the shirt, so he goes back and calls the security, his superior. He comes back and he says, they said take the shirt. So he goes back over and grabs the shirt. When Ammon realizes that he's taking the shirt, he said he was upset because he just remembered that his other two shirts were in the laundry, and the only way he could have breakfast the next morning is you have to have your shirt on.
All right, hold on, Shauna. I got a quick break. It's a hard break. It's only 2 minutes long, though. We'll come right back, and we'll continue your story right where you left off. Shauna Cox with us, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Shauna Cox is with us. She's telling her story. She was invited in by Carol Bundy to review a lot of the evidence about Ammon Bundy. She's watching the videos. They're very distant and grainy at first. We're talking about this shirt incident where Ammon had a shirt hanging from a top bunk. They told him to take it down. He didn't. They had an interview with him about it, and he realizes that the other shirts are in the laundry. It's all that he's got, and he won't even get breakfast. Go ahead, Shauna. That's where you were, right?
Yes, so he won't get breakfast, so he reaches to grab the shirt back. At that point, he didn't get it. At that point, another person come on to the scene. He reaches to grab, which is Ryan, and he reaches to grab the shirt because, of course, he's his older brother. He's trying to protect him. He reaches to grab the shirt. The officer pulls it away. He didn't get a hold of it. He just, touched it out further. He couldn't reach it. And then the officer puts his empty hand towards them and his left hand, and then all you see, because there's no sound on these videos. So then you see them turn around, go back to their bunks. Okay, so in the interview, the officer said, they returned to their bunks. Nothing happened. It was over. You can see the officer go to the wall and throw the shirt in a hamper or something over there. It was over. Well, now the officer had said, the security guard had said, when Ryan had reached for the shirt, that he had brushed his hand or pushed down his other hand. You cannot see that in the video. You cannot see him any kind of contact. But he said he brushed his hand, no big deal. And he said, I'm not going to press any charges. Well, I don't know what all that means. All I know is then don't see anything for a while, probably, you know, a few minutes go by, and then suddenly there comes in a number of guards. I would say there were spies.
No, I don't want to interrupt, Shauna, but I want to make this very clear. One of the points that you make, and I think this is a valid point, which is, you know what, you can't really judge time because the videos start and stop, and they don't relate to the time in reality at all. And so a lot of the supposition about time and different things is not verifiable. Is that right?
Well, not in this one. This one has actually got a clock on it. So you can
okay.
see, because it's the same video. Okay, this is just the same room shot. Then you see the guards come into the door. And I guess they're guards because they're all dressed in T-shirts and that kind of stuff. So anyway, but they are. So five guys come in. And that's about where you lose the video. Okay, then it gets cut off. And then you get another one, which is a handheld video, because it's up close. They brought in their video camera. So somebody's on the video camera. Now you can see and now you can hear. But up to that point, you couldn't. In that first video, though, I did notice that I didn't see one single person sleeping on the top bunk. What happens if there's nobody on that bunk? They fold that mattress in half and it's just up on the top. There was no one sleeping on the top bunk, which leads me to believe that everybody sleeps on the bottom because they cannot sleep with that light in their eyes, so they choose the bottom bunk. Ammon had stated that the reason that he didn't take the shirt down was because from the very beginning, when they were very first put in there, everybody all these months has put the shirts up. And it wasn't just him, but he had put the shirt up. And for the guy to come and say, take the shirt down, was like, look, we've done this all along. Why all of a sudden we have to take down the shirt? I can't sleep. And so that's his argument. Okay? I don't understand why suddenly it becomes a problem when it hasn't been a problem for months. Anyway, so the men come in. Then you get a new video. Ryan's over there, and they're talking.
And this
to
is
Ryan.
Just to be clear, this is the second close-up video now,
this,
right?
This is the second video.
Okay, go ahead.
But it's up close, and you can see it. So they say, we have been instructed that if anybody...
And hold on. Now, this one has audio, too, right?
This one has audio.
Okay, sorry. I just want to make sure things are clear. Go ahead.
Perfect. Okay, so audio, too. I mean, the video, too, has audio. It's very clear. It is a handheld video, hand video. So when they get to, they start talking to Ryan. He's objecting as to what they're doing, why they're doing it. There was no incident. He said, I did not touch the officer. There's some discussion. Then when one guy says, and you can't see him, but you can hear one of the officers, and he distinctly says, it doesn't matter, I have to take his word over yours, which is... anyway.
Hold on, let's be clear. When the officer says I have to take his word over yours, what he means is I got to take my own officer, my own team's word over Ryan's, right?
Right.
Okay, just want to make sure who's who. Go ahead.
Okay, so then... they proceed to have him put his hands behind his back, which he does. He's protesting verbally, but not physically. So he is trying to explain to them, trying to get them to reason to be, you know, human, I guess you would say, to be compassionate or something. Anyway, but they continue to do the job. They put the handcuffs on him. They take him out into the hall. I should say they took him out in the hall before they put the handcuffs on, so I apologize for that. Well,
okay, so they took Ryan out into the hall and then put handcuffs on Ryan.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The reason was because the part you don't see is that Ammon asked the guard if he can stand at the window and watch his brother. Because when they asked him to come out in the hall, when they told him to go out in the hall, which he does, Ammon knows what out in the hall means. And he's upset now because his brother didn't do anything. He felt like he had done nothing but trying to help him. And that there was no incident. It was over. And when they went out and when he went to the hall, he knows what the hall means. The hall means they put him in the hole. And they just barely got out of the hole of the 41 days.
Now, let's be clear. The hole is a solitary confinement scenario, right?
Solitary confinement because they refused, because they were taking a stand of being, of refusing to be strip searched every single time they went anyplace, even though they hadn't left the facility. When they go from one room to the next, when they, anyway, there's all different reasons that they do these strip searches, and especially, you know, when the attorneys come, it was because of the attorneys, but they were said, it's ridiculous, you know, the cavity searches, all this, there wasn't anybody, you know, they didn't do anything, they haven't left the facility, nobody had contact, it was, anyway, so they were rebelling after hundreds of these.
And the idea here is that these cavity searches really turn out to be nothing but a harassment or, you know, some would even say sexual harassment. There's no need for these is the point, right?
Right. They don't, of course, they don't believe that there's any reason. They have never done drugs. They've never had any reason for the, any kind of history like that. So why would they, what they have to single them out, you know, just to continue to do these things because in their mind, okay? That being strip searched and that kind of a search is no different than being raped. And in our belief, if a girl is getting raped, we're told that don't fight, okay? Don't fight because they should kill you, but you don't help them. And that's the mentality that they feel like because they have to help them when they do a strip search or whatever else, that they are committing some kind of a immoral act, and they don't want to be party to that. It's not that they're refusing for the strip search, but if you're going to strip me, then you've got to, then you have to do it. I am not going to do it because to them it's just rape. Okay?
And so Ammon's saying, you know what, I'm not going to try to stop you, but I disagree with this. I consider it to be basically a violation, and I'm certainly not going to help you violate me. Do what you will, but I'm not going to submit to that.
Now, that is exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
Okay, go ahead.
That's what he's saying. He doesn't call it the rape. I call it that. Okay?
Understood. But he is saying, I'm not going to submit to this. It's wrong. It's immoral.
Yes. So when you hear him, that's what he's saying. Anyway, so back to the hall. So Ammon is standing inside the window. He's looking out. He sees that his brother is being put in chains, and they're taking down the hall.
Okay, hold on. So they said they just wanted to talk to his brother in the hall. He wanted to watch because he didn't trust them, and now they're putting Ryan in chains, and Ammon's watching through the window, right? Hang on, Shauna, I got a hard break. I can't control it. We'll be back as quick as we can, and we'll continue right there. Shauna Cox, our guest, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. You're hearing her side of the story. I'm doing my very best to clarify things. Other than that, it's her story, and I'm not interrupting or anything.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The Pentagon, as you may have heard, successfully intercepting and destroying an unarmed intercontinental ballistic missile. The military launched the ICBM from the Marshall Islands in the Pacific. The intercepting missile was launched from Vandenberg Air Base in California. This was the fifth attempt to intercept a missile, but only the second success. Based on the record, one senior advisor said we cannot rely totally on the system yet. The government has spent some $40 billion since 2002 to set up the system. Have you seen the Washington Post story about how Jared Kushner and the Russian ambassador talked about opening a back channel to communicate securely? Well, this might tell us a couple of things. First, in light of the fact that Senators McCain and Graham are pushing a military confrontation with Russia, communicating with Russia regarding Syria and sanctions would have gone a long way to ease tensions. Secondly, the news is confirming that there was no such back channel with the Russians during the election. If such a thing had existed, Kushner would not have had to bring it up with the Russian ambassador in December. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Shauna Cox is our guest. She's telling her story. I'm clarifying a couple of facts to make sure things are clear. This is radio. It's not visual, so sometimes people can get lost. I'm just trying to help with that. Other than that, I'm not interrupting at all, and I'm actually helping her make a few points. And so Ammon is standing at the window. This is on video, close-up video with audio. Shauna's watching this, and Ammon was told that they were going to take his brother out into the hall, which really means the whole solitary confinement. So they're upset. Ammon wants to watch because they say they're just going to talk to Ryan. Ammon doesn't trust them, which I get why. And so Ammon's watching this, and now they're putting him in chains, Shauna?
Yes, I'll try to speed it up a little bit. I just didn't want to miss any details.
No, you take the time that you want. We'll give you the time. Go ahead, please.
So, as Ammon's watching this, and Ryan is complaining, you can see this video, you can't see Ammon watching at the moment. All you can see is the handheld video camera of Ryan. They take him down the hall. There's a chains on him. They take him into the medical facility, which is outside the hole. When they go to that place, that's when they strip search him. He refuses. He doesn't want to be strip searched. He says, I don't need to go into the medical. He doesn't say that. That's what they're going to do, but that's the procedure. So when he gets there, they didn't strip search him, but they took him and they put him into the shower. When they get him into this 3x3 shower confinement, and I'm not really sure why they had to put him in there, they tell him to put his hands out there's like a tray that opens up a trap door that opens up down below. If he puts his hands out there with the cuffs on, they will remove the cuffs. He does that. He puts his hands out. They take the cuffs off his hands. They slide some clothes into him. Now, the reason I say that is because when you change from the pod and they move him into the hole, they are changed into a different colored clothing, different clothes. I call it a dunce hat. It's like, okay, everybody knows that now he's in the corner. He's, you know, that's where he is. He's in the hole because he
the
has
the point is this is a form of punishment, not only internally to the prisoner, but publicly displayed as well. Go ahead.
Right. So now that's the part you see of Ryan. That's all we see. Then as we go to the next video, they come, they're back into the main room, they come to Ammon, and they say, put your hands behind your back. He has his arms folded. He says no, and he turns and he looks at the security guard by the door, the one that the whole incident began with, and he says, you lied to me. Now, I don't know all the things that he lied to him about. All I know is he was upset because my understanding of what he had in the interview before was he was upset because he said, you just said he wanted to talk to him, because when I had asked you why they wanted to talk to him out in the hall, why are they taking him in the hall? They just want to talk to him. That's what they had told Ammon and Ryan. And then, of course, you lied to me, he says to the guard. He's very upset about this whole situation. They just got out. They've only been out 2 days from the hole, and now they're putting them back in. The papers that we had filed that the warden had been actually fired. We can't really say she fired, but she was released, and another one was brought in her place.
The point is there's a different warden. That's clear, right?
This is, well, yes, and it, like I said, they were released out of the hole at that point, and now 2 days later, they're headed back into the hole. So it was almost as if they were targeting them to put them back in. That's why it's upsetting, and Ammon's very upset because now his brother's going back in, and then they said, yeah, we're going to, put your hands behind your back, and he says no. Now, when they tell us about the policies and procedures, they tell us that when the guy, when an inmate refuses to do certain things, he's given a command. And if he refuses to do the command, they have a certain procedure that they are allowed to follow. That's called enforcement. Then they can stick arms in the back, just shove them, move them to wherever they want them to be. They can knee them. They hit pressure points, those types of things. The more they resist, the more force they increase. So they push Ammon and push him out into the hall, and he takes his hand and doubles up his fist underneath his chin, refusing to put the handcuffs on. He's trying to reason with them. Because that's his nature, patience, long-suffering, He's trying to reason with them. But in reasoning, they don't reason because they are a body of force. So your actions give them ability to increase the force. Now, that's what they explained to us, but I'm not so sure that Ammon and Ryan understand it, but maybe they do. I don't know. I'm assuming. But as you watch them, they can't get his hand, they try to pull his arms behind. They start to knee him. There's one man that's a guard that is 500 plus pounds, and it isn't muscle. But he knees him in the side of his leg and his knee few times, and anyway, they begin to take him down to the ground. Ammon is not throwing any punches. He's not fighting. He's just resisting and holding tight, and he's complaining the whole time, saying, why are you doing this? My brother, we just got out of the hole 41 days. Why are you doing this? He lied. They push him to the ground. He said, nothing happened. I don't understand. Why are you... Anyway, so they take him to the ground. They're fighting him. He's resisting still. And it takes them. One guy's on his back with his knee in Ryan Ammon's back. They're all over. They're putting applying the pressure points behind the ears, in the ears, to get him to conform. All this wrestling him. And they finally get his hands behind his back, and then you can see them lifting him up. When there is a woman coming down the hall with a wheelchair, they're going to put him in a wheelchair. Okay, now there's But the part you don't see is when they put the shackles on his feet. That's not in the video. But when he gets up, he does have shackles on his feet. They are, he said they
now,
were
now, just a
tight.
Quick question. How do you know that? Did the staff confirm that to you, or is that from Ammon? How do
no,
we know
I
that?
I can see them. I mean, you can see that his feet are stuck together and he can't walk.
There's, I get it.
That's why they're going to put him in the wheelchair. They've got the chains in it with his arms behind his back, and they have him on his feet because now he cannot walk. They get in, they're getting him up to his feet, and they're going to drag him into this wheelchair. And he's resisting. He's saying, no, no. And he pulls himself up. I mean, he with their help, he gets to his, he's on his feet. And then he's trying to walk with those shackles on. When he states that they were on so tight, he had no circulation. And I can tell you from experience that if you walk and they're very tight, it will rub on your ankles, and it hurts tremendously because it cuts into your skin. So he is walking, shuffling, trying to get down the hall. But while he's doing this, he is complaining. He is saying, what is wrong with you people? We have done nothing wrong. You are the people who came to our ranch and attacked us. You are the people who have, all we wanted to do is ranch. All we wanted to do was make a living. I mean, we were just a peaceful people. My father has done nothing ever to hurt anybody. We've never hurt anybody in my entire life have I ever hurt anybody.
And by the way, Ammon is right as could be on this fact.
He is. And he's very upset. And he's so upset. He said, we just got out of that hole for 40 days or 41 days. And he said, and do this kind of stuff. And how can you do that? It is because of you who are following these people who are telling you to do this kind of stuff. That is a problem with our nation. You came to our ranch and you attacked our family and you tased us and you pointed guns at us and you beat down my brother and you threw my aunt, you attacked us. And we did nothing to you, nothing. And you people are little creeps, he says.
All right, hang tight, Shauna. I don't mean to interrupt you. It feels like the story is so riveting. It feels like breaks are coming every second, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not doing it on purpose. They're standard breaks that I have no control over. However, we'll come right back with Shauna Cox. We'll pick up right where we left off. Stay there, everybody. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, folks. Shauna Cox riding shotgun on the broadcast today. She's telling her story as she reviews the evidence from what's happening to Ammon Bundy and Ryan Bundy, etc. And they had just put Ammon in a wheelchair. They've got him shackled. He's got his arms behind his back, and he's complaining, saying, you know what? This is wrong. You guys have come to my ranch. We're the most peaceful people. Why are you guys doing this? Go ahead, Shauna.
Okay, I must have spotted him because they did not put him in the wheelchair. He refused to have the wheelchair. He's walking down the hall.
Okay, so he's not in a wheelchair, but they wanted to put him in one. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Right, they brought one to drag him down there, but he walked on his own. And he's shuffling along, so that's why I'm saying they put the shackles on. During that period, sometime they didn't videotape that part, that they put the shackles on. So there's parts that we do not see because, like I said, you got a handheld video camera. You're only going to see certain portions of it.
And that's why before I said that it's hard to tell time. This is one of the points you made. It's hard to tell time, right, and it's hard to put together reality because it's not all there and you don't see all different things happening along the way either. You see the part that they train the handheld camera on, not the rest, right?
Right, absolutely. And
okay,
these are in segments. So there's I think, I can't remember if there's five, but I think there were six videos. So this is this is the third one. Okay, this is the third one because it's on Ammon. So it's on Ammon. They take him down to the shower. That's what they call it. Well, they ask him to go to the medical. They were going to take him in the medical. He says, I don't need the medical. So they took him from there and took him into and put him in the shower, and they tell him to put his hands through the hole. Ammon is so angry. I forgot. Let me back up. There's some things that he said that I thought were very important. When he's saying to these people, you're little crate, okay? And he said, they can't do these things. If you don't have these kind of jobs and you do them, you should be able to use your own conscience, your own thing, you know, and do the right thing. He said, my family has never hurt anybody. My father has done nothing ever to hurt anyone. He's always been there to help. We've always been there helping our neighbors, our friends, anybody that needed help, we were there. We took meat to families forever. And we supplied them with meat. We supplied them with food. Everybody who needed help always knew that they could come and get help from us. And they do. I testify that they have done this. Anyway, so he's very, can't understand how people can be so cruel when nobody's hurt them. You've come to our place, you've attacked us, done all these things, my family, and we've done nothing. And why are you doing these things? They can't do it without you. You're part of the system. You're just like them. You are part of them. And he starts screaming, you're a little creep, okay? And he keeps saying, creeps, you're just a little creep. And he's mad, 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 and you can see him as he's going down the hall, and he's filling up towards the other rooms as he's passing by.
By the way, in Ammon's defense, it's interesting that the worst he calls them is creeps, though. Go ahead.
That was amazing to me. That's all he can come up with. That's the best you can do. He goes down. He does say a couple of words like damn and hell once, that's what he calls him, and he keeps saying creep, little creep. Anyway, whatever. And then that's when I put him in. So now I can see, I've never seen Ammon this mad, never. And so he's really upset. They put him in there. They say, put your hands out. We can take the bracelets off. And he refuses. So they leave him. They leave him. Then they come back. Now, we don't really know how long it is between the time that they leave him in there, because they say he refused, and they say it on the camera, and then they leave. Then other ones come in. Different people come in. And you can see them again on another video that they're trying to talk to him very nicely. Let me just put your hands out. We can take the bracelets off and we will, you know, get you more comfortable. And
do they say the bracelets because they're handcuffs, right? Come on, bracelets.
Right. These are handcuffs. They're very, right. very tight on his arms. He can't hardly, but he's still angry. He's angry. You can, he's so upset. And so he again refuses and says, no, I'm not, you know, no, I'm not putting my hands out. He said, you put me in here. You drag me in here. You can just drag me right back out and put me back on my, bunk where you found me. And, of course they say, well, he's refused. And so they leave again. I don't know how long it is in between here. So it has to be during a 13-hour
Now, let's be
period.
Clear. So before there was a clock on the screen of the first video, but there's not a clock on these videos, and time is very hard to judge, right?
Right. Now, you would have no idea, because if they give you three more videos, okay, these are three videos. That's now the fourth video that they show that he refuses, okay? Then they come back again, and this is during a 13-hour period, by the way. It's not 15 minutes. These are the videos that we see. So then we see one more video, and these guys are just very, very nice. And Ammon now doesn't even answer them. He's still standing. He doesn't even answer them. He has refused. He won't put his hands through. So therefore, they say it to the camera, and then they shut it off and walk away. So now the next time that you see them, they come.
Now, let me make one more point. Not only do we only see these snapshots, but we don't see what happens in between that's not on the camera either, right?
Absolutely. Hours have gone by during this time because you can see Ammon was still standing at that point. When they come the next time, they have six people in total riot gear from head to toe. Now, this has to be on the 13th hour because they are all dressed in black. Right up here. Seriously, combat. It's unreal. And there's six of them, and they're standing in a line holding the back of each other like you're doing a hokey pokey. Okay, so you grab hold of the guy in front of you, and they're in this line. Well, there's four guys I can see that are in the front, and there are two women. You can tell they're women, even though they have this on. You can tell that they're women by their size, by the way they walk. You can see they're smaller, and they're in the back. And they're following these guys in a line to that shower. When they open the shower, they are coming to drag him out. The first two guys reach in and they pick Ammon up. He's on the ground now. And he can barely get his legs under himself. He can't even stand. You can tell he's soiled. It's very sad because he can't move his legs. They grabbed him by the arms and have lifted him, but he's trying to walk. And they finally get him as he's trying to shuffle out. And then they take him to another room. You can see them take him to this other room, the four men and the two women. And so as they take him into this room, which I understand is the hole, they just lay him face flat on the floor. And then they proceed to stripping naked. At that point, I just covered up my eyes because I knew, I saw. That's what they did, okay? The two women are at the back. The four guys are on the top of them, and it took them no time at all. Anyway, they stripped him, and then that's all you see, okay? So that's the last video. That's all we were allowed to see. Then we were told that they took him in there. And so now after I see all this, and they're saying, well, we didn't do anything wrong. That's the procedure. That's what we did. We didn't starve him. He chose not to either comply. So, you know, that. So I can understand that. Okay. And, but
you're breaking up a little bit. Yeah. Make sure you can get in the best spot, Shauna. Please.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. But I can't tell you what he's thinking. But to me, his actions are saying, I'm not conforming to this. I'm not agreeing to this because you're totally wrong. We've done nothing. We didn't. I mean, I put that shirt up because everybody else in the room has done it. And it's been going that way all these months. And suddenly there's a reason that you're trying to get us back into the hole again. And he's upset because he feels like he's a little bit guilty because his brother is back in the hole again. And the anger has, and the sorrow. I don't know if, I just don't know how we allow these kinds of things to happen to innocent men. Number one, in a prison, there is only one standard, and it is because it's like what's good for one is good for all. They can't play any favoritism. I understand that, how their rules go. The big problem with that is we have people that are innocent of any crime that have been found innocent and still are being treated just like they do the convicted killer.
And this, by the way, is where we talk about, you know what, the due process or the lack of due process, I should say, is the real problem, right, Shauna?
That, exactly. So we have to go back and blame the politicians and the policymakers. We have to go back and put the blame where it really belongs. But we want you. See, I don't think that Ammon and Ryan can understand that kind of treatment to human beings, and they have no reason. Are you robots? And so then we think, oh, are we back in the time of Nazi Germany? I'm just doing my job. Is that where we are now? Has America become that? We don't have humanity? I don't know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end of the hour. We need to hear the rest of Shauna's story, though. So what I've done is I've told my next hour's guest that we're going to have to reschedule with them. We're going to come back with Shauna. Hopefully Shauna can charge her cell phone. I apologize. The audio is not perfect. We're doing the very best that we can with our circumstances, but we wanted to get her on as soon as we could. And we're going to basically continue right where we left off and let her tell the story. Shauna Cox telling the story of her review of the evidence about Ammon and Ryan Bundy and the abusive treatment they're taking. There's no doubt we agree with a lot of this. There's no doubt the due process is an issue. I mean, even Marcus Mumford, the attorney in Oregon, once they got free, was abused, literally assaulted in the courtroom. This is where we're at, folks. Shauna Cox, next hour as well. Stay there, everybody.